Kristen,
Natalie,
do you get more beautiful since I saw you last?
I did. That's exactly what happened. I got prettier today.
That's what it is. Mm-hmm. I'm so in awe of the moment of getting to be in your beauty.
Well, when I opened the door, not only did I think your eye makeup was on point, but your skin looks luminous.
Thank you. I'm feeling all the jet lag because, as some of you may know, we were in Paris and I extended my trip, so I just got home yesterday. So today feels like very late at night.
But you know what? You don't seem jet lagged, so.
Well, I feel like being so excited about life helps.
Yeah, that does help. And I will be extra hilarious today to keep you stimulated in all the right ways.
Kristen, I love it when you keep me stimulated.
I like to stimulate you. It gives me joy.
So good. So friends, today's podcast is a very special one. It's been several weeks in the making. As some of you have heard us talk, we've been teaching in Paris. We did our first outside of New York, LA retreat, Pleasure in Paris. It was so magnificent. It was so life-changing. Everyone who came, we fell in love with. We had the most fun in Paris. But even before this retreat, there was something stirring in us that we wanted to start talking about. Something stirring in us that we were both experiencing. And we were both experiencing it from different circumstances, but in a same very deep way. And then it was almost like the stimulus and excitement of being in Paris and teaching together shifted it. And now being back in the silence of our day-to-day life, it's like it's really present in a new way. So having watched this process of ourselves with this today's Create podcast topic, we wanted to share our experience with you of what we're here to experience and share.
Well, I read this Rob Bell quote, you know, our love Rob Bell, and in his book, Drops Like Stars, which is all about creativity, and it may turn you on to no end. His other book that is also about the creative process, which I love, is How to Be Here. Yeah. So friends, great reads. But this morning I'm reading this. The writer Frederick Buchner remembers a time in his life when he was a 27-year-old bachelor. I was trying to write a novel, which for one reason or another refused to come to life for me, partly, I suspect, because I was trying too hard and hadn't learned yet the importance of letting the empty place inside of me open up. And I read that sentence this morning and I said, oh, well, that's what spirit is trying to do right now in my life. It's encouraging the empty place inside of me to open up. And I thought about how our friend John, he always quotes this sentence from a conversation he had with our friend Monique Coleman, which was, sometimes the universe will empty you out before it fills you back up. So today we wanted to talk about emptiness and how in ourselves and in our lives and in our culture, often we want to run from emptiness. We're afraid of emptiness. We fill ourselves up so full.
With so much.
Our schedules.
Yeah.
Our closets. Our emails.
It's like a lot of advertising. A lot of the cultural story is you are not okay. And if you buy this product, you will feel okay. And so we are even trained by our well-meaning families. You must finish everything on your plate. You know, you must always be warm enough. You must always eat enough. And it all comes from this beautiful instinct of survival. But at one point, we start to feel so full, and that feeling full starts to be equated with comfort. And so when we start to feel empty, if you start to feel hungry, if you start to feel thirsty, if you start to feel uncomfortable, if you start to feel empty, it feels like something is wrong and you have to go into being a problem solver or a doer and fill yourself up. So it's almost like all of life becomes this constant cycle of never feel empty.
Mm.
And if you start to feel empty, there's a problem. And I think the conversation that we want to have based on how we've seen some things transform in our lives recently is, what if being full is the opposite of thriving? So we'll always be surviving in the fullness, but what if it is only in the emptiness that we can actually really know ourselves, really know our gifts, really know what we're here for, really listen to the call of our higher power, and really just tune in to, we are safe, we are okay, We are enough. Everything is good.
And in our lives, there will be time for everything, right? There's a season for everything. And sometimes it is the time for fullness. And you're like, oh, universe has given me all the fullness. And sometimes it is the time for emptiness. And in those times, we don't need to think that there's anything wrong.
Right.
Actually, there is a fertile ground being laid so that something new can be born. But if we run from the emptiness, we don't get the opportunity to create that perfect springboard for the next thing that wants to occur. So the phrase that came into me was, can you seduce the emptiness? So instead of being afraid of it, can you court it?
Mm.
Can you ask emptiness to come and be your friend?
Wow.
Right? Can you ask emptiness to walk alongside of you? And that takes a little bit of being okay not knowing the answers.
Yeah, it takes courage.
Right.
And, you know, Osho, who I love, talks a lot about emptiness, inner emptiness. And he actually says that when we build relationships with other people, the relationship is built so falsely because it's your emptiness trying to hide from my emptiness. Mm. So we both want to present our fullness to each other. So it looks like we have a lot to offer each other. But that true intimacy would be sitting in the complete emptiness of one another and having that person say, I see all of you without having to do anything, be anything. I just see the inner emptiness that you are. And that is what I fall in love with. And that is true intimacy.
Ooh, that's yummy.
Yummy, right?
I was listening to Kyle Cease earlier talk about, isn't it interesting that the part of us that wants to be full with something, he's like, when you miss your girlfriend, it's the same part of you that thinks it's a good idea to go out and drink lots of margaritas, right? So the part of you that craves this old addiction and wants that is also the part of you that wants this other thing. Like, let me just fill myself up so I don't feel what is here.
Yeah.
And he was saying it's because we don't actually realize that we live in a world of infinite possibilities, that at this moment, anything is possible, right? That all things are possible. And he was talking about how all we are is this moment. All we are is like lungs and heart and flesh here in this moment. And from this moment, anything could happen. And because we don't believe that, because we think who we are is our story, we don't realize that anything could happen. And he was saying, nothing separates me from Oprah, from Donald Trump, because we are all just heart and flesh and lungs, except this idea of past story.
Mm.
But in this moment, we are in a field of pure potentiality. And so we never all get to know how much potential we actually have and how big the sea of abundance is because we're afraid to be in the emptiness for a moment.
Right. I was feeling in the last few months that my life was getting busy and full. And not even so much that my schedule was getting so full, but my mind was so full. I was so full of rumination. I was full of planning and organizing and strategizing and where am I going next? And I was feeling this really powerful disconnect from being in the present moment.
Mm.
And I was doing still all of my meditations, all of my morning practices, and I was still feeling that disconnected because I was so trying to become something, trying to build something. So I ended up signing up for this weekend-long meditation retreat. And all we did in this retreat, we didn't eat, you know, we fasted. So that's one level of emptiness that made me so uncomfortable. I mean, you saw me the morning before I was going. I wanted a coffee, and even though I wasn't supposed to have one, and then I spilled it all over my white pants, and then I was so cranky, and then I was walking to change my pants, and then I fell on the sidewalk and broke my shoe, and it was just like, and all of this was coming out of my anticipatory anger of I wasn't going to get to eat that day,
uh-huh.
Right? Because when we start to feel like something's going to be taken away from us, and we're going to feel empty, we start to have anxiety, and that anxiety will cause you to trip on the street or be short with someone, right?
We get anxious because we don't trust the universe.
Right. Right. We don't trust it has us. We don't trust we can handle it. We don't trust it's going to be okay because the mechanism says you must stay full. So if we start to get empty, the first thing we uncover is this layer of anxiety. And so then we feel like we're doing something wrong. Because if we feel like life is supposed to feel good and life is for joy and desire is life asking for itself, then we assume that when the anxiety comes up, we're doing it wrong. Underneath the anxiety, however, there began a new journey. So I went and this whole weekend was just 3 days of sleeping and meditating in a big room. You don't know what time it is. You have no clock. You have no cell phone. You have no technology. You have no anything. And you know when you're signing up for something like this and you think this is exactly what I need, this is such a great idea, but the only reason you're doing it is so that you can live the moment on the end of it when you feel great. The last thing you want to do is go through it.
You don't want to go through it. Oh!
And I was mad. I actually feel bad for the organizers of this event because I was cranky with them. I was like, I'm going to be that person who walks out. I can't do this. This is crazy. You know, and honestly, after like 1 hour of meditating and then 1 hour of rest and then another hour of meditating, I was like, okay, I feel good. Why am I still here? Right?
Right. I'm ready to go.
Yeah. I'm ready to go. Oh my gosh. There's 2¾ days left of this. Like, I will go insane.
That's interesting. Okay. I can take emptiness for 20 minutes of my meditation.
That's
or
right.
I can take it for an hour. But when I don't know how long it will last, that's when I really start to get anxious and cranky.
Yes.
And manipulative and all the
Let
things.
Let me be a good girl and do it for a bit. But then once I can't control it, once it has control over me and it says we're staying here as long as it takes, and I'm not the planner, I'm not the organizer, I'm not the strategizer, I'm not the one running this car.
Yes.
That's when something deeper than anxiety came up, panic came up.
Yes.
Absolute panic. And then what was underneath that as I continued sitting in the discomfort was actually a fear of dying.
Whoa!
Where it felt so, while sitting in emptiness with nothing but myself is what I assume death to be. And that feels so scary and cold and unknown that even touching that moment is what we all spend our life avoiding. So it went through all of these trickles of badness.
Yeah.
And then I will say maybe about 15 hours in, and I have no idea because like I said, I was, you know, in a room and I didn't even know if the sun was out. After what felt like a day and a half, and I was so hungry and I was so tired. But something happened where I completely just surrendered to it.
Mm.
I said, maybe other people in this meditation experience are seeing beautiful things and having beautiful visualizations and having different kinds of realities and moments. What I've been given is pure blackness. When I look behind my eyes, there's nothing there. There's no thoughts. There's no anything. And I kept noticing myself wanting to escape. I wonder what the person next to me is doing. I wonder what time it is. And I had this very clear moment of thinking, this is the one moment in my life where there's nowhere I have to be. There's no one I have to cater to. There's no phone call I have to get. There's nothing to do. And all I want to do is get out. But when we're real busy, all we want to do is say, I want that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, here I am, just me and my divine. And all I want to do is get out.
Mm-hmm.
And so while I have been busy much of my life, blaming the world for not treating me the way I want to be treated or abandoning me or making me wrong, I don't even want to sit with myself. And I keep leaving myself. And telling myself, I'm not interesting enough to be with. I'm not interesting enough to sit with. And so how can I ever expect any love, any authenticity, any sense of I want to be in this with you, to be present with me if I won't even give that to myself?
Yeah.
And it was right around that moment when, you know, it's like, well, I always remember when Oprah was like running on the treadmill at that camp.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, I surrender. And then Steven Spielberg called and said, don't lose another pound. You have the part. So this was my running on the treadmill moment where I just said, I surrender. And I don't know if this moment is going to last for the rest of my life or if this is going to last for 2 seconds. But however long it lasts, I am just going to be here with myself in complete empty.
Yes.
And what happened in the remaining part of that time I was there is nothing short of a miracle. Of the ability I had in the process and then after the process to be turned on to myself with a level of love I had never felt for myself, to be turned on to the universe where I would push my hand through sand and it would make faces at me, right? Because my imagination was so vivid. What I was seeing when I looked at the clouds, the colors I was seeing, the way food tasted, everything was alive the way life had never been alive to me because I was willing to be completely without. And so in the emptiness, I found the complete fullness of how fortunate we are to get to be here in this world and live this life. So friends, I get that emptiness, it feels like the stairway to hell. And it is. But those are the parts of yourself that aren't really you. So we go through them to release them. Because in the emptiness, there is so much unconditional love. There is so much freedom. There is so much ease. There is so much grace and peace that you can't imagine ever feeling that level of anxiety about anything ever again.
Well, it's so funny on the topic of emptiness, as I was feeling when we were in Paris, like what I was craving was deep aloneness, like the journaling in churches, wandering by myself. There was this like calling to be in this alone space with the divine, as if stimulus, which I love, wasn't what this like inner calling was. And I've had like the most interesting year, and we've shared a little bit about it on the podcast of like certain projects that were on the docket, then being canceled last minute and certain things falling away. And in this moment now, I feel spirit on me saying, what if you can be non-resistant to whatever it is that I am removing and just not need to fill it with anything? Not need to even to fill your time. And be with this void as a way of courting an inner silence. And it's funny because I came back from Paris, and as you know, I haven't been able to eat anything. So like every time I like...
You look fabulous.
Well, listen, I feel fabulous. I'm like on a juice cleanse that is totally involuntary because I can't eat.
Yeah.
And it's so this like emptiness metaphor, I just keep going, oh, you're hilarious.
Yes.
How you keep giving me this emptiness metaphor of there's a process that is occurring.
Yes.
And it's a shedding. It's a letting go. And there's nothing to be scared of. And I'm so grateful for your story of what occurred with the meditation, because those processes that you just talked through of like the panic and then the anxiety and then the, you know, the wanting to control it. I watch all of those same things happen within.
Mm-hmm.
And that the only thing that cures it is a deep surrender, a deep letting go, a deep, deep saying, my life is yours. Do whatever you want.
You know what I think is fascinating? If people are listening to this and thinking, well, that emptiness idea doesn't interest me because I don't want to go through anxiety, panic, fear of death, and then get to emptiness and then feel better. I don't want to go through that process. But trust me that what I have come to watch in myself and in others and in the way this life has been conditioned for us, you are going through that same process with how you feel yourself anyway.
Mm-hmm.
when you want to fill yourself, it is because of anxiety. When we want to overdo something, have too much stimulus, when we want to not look at something, when we get into addictive patterns, you know, that is coming from a place of panic and anxiety.
I was listening to Oprah talk about, she said, all those years doing my show, people go, well, do you get nervous? Do you get anxious? Do you have stress? And she goes, I don't have any stress. I just eat lots of potato chips. Yes. She's like, I was eating all the potato chips yes. because I was in so much stress.
Yes.
But I didn't realize that. I didn't realize that that was what's going on. And life has a way of forcing us to get empty if we don't voluntarily take the emptiness. So if we are not consciously going, I'm going to give myself space, whether that is one day a week that you don't work and you get really still, or a meditation process, or whatever that is, if you're not actively creating that sense of deep listening, life will go, all right.
Okay. Two sure. play at this game.
Yeah. Oh, listen, sister, I'm bigger and better at this than you are.
I've been doing this a lot longer.
Life requires us to listen. I love how Michael Beckwith will say, pain pushes until vision pulls.
I love that.
So if we aren't allowing the space where we can be and commune with our deep inner vision, we're going to come up against what feels like pain. It feels like pain because it feels like things are being taken away. But what's happening is really the space is being created for a deep, deep expansion. Here's a quote from Lao Tzu, our buddy from the Tao Te Ching, who might have not have been one person, might have been very many. Become totally empty. Quiet the restlessness of the mind. Only then will you witness everything unfolding from emptiness.
It makes me think that when we take the path of fullness, it creates so much more work and effort. It's almost like the feeling of when you take the path of eating all the pizza, then you the next day feel so full that you then want to go do a workout, and then you have to work so hard because you feel like you have to, you know, make up for that. And so that's the kind of pattern that fullness keeps you in. It keeps you in what the yogis call the rajasic energy, the fire energy, where you constantly have to burn off energy. Whereas the emptiness will always be the path of least effort because there's nothing to overcompensate for. There's nothing to fix. There's nothing really to do. So then the purity of one very small step in the right direction will have a huge impact when it comes out of a place of complete stillness, emptiness, where there's nothing to fix.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
And in a world where we're so dominated by our masculine energy of really moving, hustling, making it happen. Like I said, even I got in that energy of organization, planning, strategy, making something, you know, coming up with this, coming up with that. That energy was actually the antithesis of my genius. Because after this retreat, when I got so quiet, you know this, I ended up staying in Los Angeles for a few weeks after that. And I ended up writing 30 chapters of a new book, a book that I didn't even really know what it was. But as soon as I created the emptiness, it just flew out of my body. And so what I know is in all of my organization and planning and strategizing and trying to make things happen, that book wasn't in there. There wasn't room for that in there. And whatever it ends up becoming doesn't matter. It came from the emptiness, and so its offering is so pure. It's so connected to spirit. It's so clean because it's not in competition with anything else.
Oh, I love that. So what happens when we start courting emptiness in our lives? What is that thing, that equivalent to your book, that wants to be birthed through us?
Is it cleaning out your underwear drawer? You know, is it cleaning out under the bed? Is it making sacred time for a solo date night where you take yourself out and you delight yourself and you don't wait for someone else to do that for you? Is it taking a few extra minutes in the shower and singing a song to yourself? Is it feeling the water on your skin? Is it looking in your own eyes in the mirror and having a conversation? Is it just looking for looking's sake? Is it just being able to be with yourself? Is it putting a hand on your heart and saying, I won't abandon you today, whatever that means? I won't abandon you to get angry at someone. I won't abandon you to go get busy. I'm going to keep checking in with you. You know, what could be a great practice is taking your phone and setting a timer for every 2 hours for the whole day. And all that timer needs to say is, are you here? Are you with yourself? So every 2 hours you can go, oh, I left Natalie alone. Hey, Nat, how's it going? How you doing, girl? You okay? I'm here. I'm with you. And what happens when we spend enough time with ourselves to let ourselves unfold?
That's really what it's about, is allowing our own unfolding. And it may be you do something wild, like you keep your phone off all day.
Right.
That kind of lack of stimulus.
Mm-hmm.
Or you take a weekend night and you stay in.
Big advocate of not checking your phone or email first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, check in with yourself before you check in with the world.
Because I do think, just like your book came out of you from creating that space, that time, we all have these things that are from a pure place inside of us that want to come through us. But when we are too crowded, when there's too much cacophony, they can't get in, they can't get through. And so for everyone, if you're noticing somewhere in your life where there's a certain amount of emptiness, and maybe it's in your bank account, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe it's in jobs for the future. Maybe it is in your romantic life. Maybe it is in your representation or wherever the places where you think that there's lack and that means there's a problem. Maybe it's just a place of inquiry, and that space has a question for you, and it just wants a little bit of your time, a little bit of your attention to see what else might want to be born. And if we're in a space always of infinite possibilities where anything is possible, can we be okay? Can we be brave enough to walk into the void and say, I don't need to fill this. I can be okay.
There's a beautiful thing my teacher, Christy, says, which is, you don't ever have to take on a tool forever, but you could take it on for 10 minutes, right? You could take it on for a week. You could, as an experiment, say, there's no job or there's no money or there's no whatever, and I have to do something about that. But for 48 hours, you know, for 1 week, for 10 minutes, let me release the rumination. Let me make my job, every time I worry about it, to just release the worry. So my new job, there's the worry again, back to the emptiness. What will happen to you in just releasing the worry or the judgment or the fear about the situation will move the situation further than any action you can take. And if you don't believe us, try it on for 10 minutes.
Try it on. It is a wonderful exercise to take on. I am not going to worry about this for 24 hours.
Yeah.
I love my 48 hour rule.
Yes.
For 48 hours, this is not on my list of things to worry about.
Not on my list.
Mm-mm.
Not going there. Not doing it.
Not doing it.
I love that instinct too. You know, when you get an email from someone and it has like maybe some triggering language for you in it, and then all you want to do, like you can't even type fast enough. And then it's in that moment that you say, get empty. Why is this bothering me? What specifically? Why do I want to defend myself? Oh, what's going on? Get empty. The emptiness will show you who you are. The response back will show them who they think you are.
It's taking that pause.
Ooh.
I have no idea who this person is. So I am going to just quote something that I heard. I want to say I was like listening to the radio, some woman being interviewed about her life changed when she learned how to count to three.
Ah!
So she did this like 3, 2, 1 every time she felt triggered. And she has some book she's written about it. I'm sure she's brilliant. And I apologize to her right now for not saying it. For this beautiful tool that she has.
But 3, 2, 1.
Just 3, 2, 1. Just when she felt herself wanting to react very quickly, that just taking that moment to pause and to have that kind of countdown did something to reconnect her to her own inner voice.
Mm. So when we talk about emptiness, we're not saying you have to sit for 3 days without food and meditate. I mean, if you want to, tell us
what happens.
I highly suggest it. But a pause is also an emptiness.
Yeah.
Not putting on music right away. Just what's the silence for just a second? It doesn't have to be a huge transformation. It could just be baby steps. And those baby steps will lead to big change.
It could be like if you usually listen to music or a podcast as you get on the subway in New York City or get into your car. What if you're just with the silence?
Except if you listen to our podcast, then always do that.
Hilarious.
I wish they could see how pretty you are.
Really? I don't have one stitch of makeup on.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
It's the juice cleanse.
Your face is in emptiness and it looks luminous.
Emptiness looks so good on me.
Emptiness looks good on you.
Friends, try on some emptiness. Woo! It may be the sexiest outfit you've ever worn.
Ooh, if it's anything like nakedness, we know it is. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being in our world. Thank you for tuning into this conversation. And please, if you're not a member of our Facebook community page, please come on over and introduce yourself to us so we can get to know you and your process. And we would love to know if you have podcast ideas for us. Throw them our way. That would delight us.
And friends, we know how scary it is when emptiness arrives in your life. We know there's something right now that's going on that may have you just a little bit terrified or in grief or in fear. And we invite you to press yourself into those places that may scare you the most and know that at that point is a potential, is a birthplace of something new. We can go there together and we don't have to be afraid.
Thank you.
Thank you. If you want to know about the Create Workshop series, you can go to
www.thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to know more about us, you can go to kristenhenge.com or
natalieroy.com.
And if you want to come to Create, you can go to
the Actors Green Room in New York City. And it is Sunday nights from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. and Tuesdays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And their website is www.theactorsgreenroom.com. And you can buy Create on demand if you don't live in New York City.
Woohoo!